declare open the 70th regular session of the General Assembly.
Military hysteria is not just an impasse, it's disaster.
I call on all nuclear weapon states and countries.
There is still hope for peace, and we must not give up.
If Russia wants to restore its role as a credible actor in
resolving, we do not ask for a blank check.
We want to streamline access into our system.
By violating its international commitments, the new U.S. administration only destroys its...
All of our hearts are with the people of Puerto Rico.
As Iran's regime seeks the destruction of Israel, Iran will face no fiercer enemy.
A solid, robust, and verifiable agreement with Iran.
We must be far more robust in identifying these ideologies and defeating them.
The potential of the United States in terms of what it's done has been wonderful.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. It's great to have you with us on this Friday. Well, you've seen the speeches and the harsh rhetoric between the United States and North Korea. All this week, leaders and diplomats at the United Nations General Assembly have heard it all. 193 countries are represented, and while the speeches matter, often what goes on behind the scenes matters a lot more. So what else are UN delegates talking about besides President Trump's America First speech on Tuesday? And more important, what are they doing at the UN? For that, you have to go to the sideline meetings, to the receptions, and even to the parties to pick up what delegates are saying. And that's what Mark Leon Goldberg does. Mark is the editor of UN Dispatch and host of the Global Dispatches podcast, and he's been at the General Assembly all week long. Mark, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's do start with President Trump's speech before the UN, because there was a lot there. His threat to destroy North Korea, calling the Iran deal an embarrassment, its emphasis on nationalism. So delegates have had the rest of the week to digest this speech from the leader of the United States. What are they saying?
Interestingly enough, delegates are sort of dismissing Donald Trump in the same way that they've been dismissing his tweets on the subject as something that is sort of a bombast that they could have expected. But the policy substance behind the bombast is still somewhat unclear. I mean, it is true that it was an extremely bellicose speech from the president of the United States. We've never had a president deliver a speech from the UN podium threatening to wipe out another country. You know, this is a podium typically used to promote global solutions to global problems, not threaten the destruction of a whole other country.
Now, what about the response? North Korean leader Kim Jong-un issued a statement yesterday full of bombast, essentially saying he would discipline Donald Trump with fire.
And this is the same dynamic that you've seen play out over Twitter and in public statements. It just, I think, is a little more alarming and dramatic because the UN General Assembly is the backdrop to this back and forth between Kim and Trump.
Well, I mentioned just before the Iran deal, I want to play you a piece of sound from Federica Mogherini, the High Representative of the EU for Foreign Affairs, talking about the importance of the Iran deal.
The nuclear deal is working. We already have one nuclear crisis. One nuclear crisis is already enough.
Mark Leon Goldberg, is there a sense among delegates that the Iran nuclear deal could actually be in danger? President Trump called it an embarrassment, as I said, and he also said that he thought it was likely to change.
You know, it's hard to imagine the Iran deal remaining in its current form, given what President Trump said from the podium. I mean, it's hard to kind of walk back the words that he spoke in front of the UN General Assembly, you know, trashing the Iran deal and suggesting that it would be something different. You know, it's one thing if you say these things on the campaign trail, they can kind of be dismissed as domestic politicking. But he said this from the podium of the UN General Assembly directly to other world leaders. However, it seems that in meetings this week, actually undoing the Iran deal and walking away for it is likely harder than Donald Trump thinks. There was a key meeting at the Security Council among members of the Iran deal coalition, the Security Council, Iran, and a few other countries. And it seems as if the U.S. delegation is not getting other countries on board with this idea that the Iran deal was more than the nuclear issue, that it was about warming relationships between the U.S. and Iran and having Iran do more to counter terrorism. That was not what the Iran deal was about. The Iran deal was very strictly focused on nuclear issues. And it seems that U.S. diplomats are unable to convince their European and other Security Council partners otherwise.
Well, nevertheless, the American administration is not happy with that deal, and you can't really draw a line between the United States and Iran without making a triangle that intersects with Israel. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu gave a pretty stark speech in front of the UN, telling the UN General Assembly that it was not reacting to Iran's threats to destroy it. Listen.
Those who threaten us with annihilation put themselves in mortal peril.
A counter threat from Netanyahu there, Mark Leon Goldberg. More of the same from Netanyahu or real warnings?
I think it's likely more of the same. What has changed for Netanyahu is that his domestic political situation is far more imperiled now than it ever has been in any other time of his over decade in office. I mean, he is under very real legal trouble in Israel, and that comes with a lot of political headaches. And so, this speech has to be seen in that domestic political context in which he is an extremely embattled politician.
Sure, and it was a bit remarkable, Mark, that we didn't hear much about Syria all week. Is that still important on the UN's agenda, or is it just being overshadowed by threats from North Korea?
It was totally overshadowed this year. You know, in years past, Syria has been the dominant, global crisis du jour around which the international community has typically tried to make some progress during UN week, whether that's boosting funding for the humanitarian side of things, trying to pay for more food and tents and shelter for Syrian refugees, or on the political side of things, trying to come together for around new rounds of peace talks. That was totally absent this year. I'd say that the crisis of the moment that garnered most delegates' attention was the crisis on the border of Myanmar and Bangladesh, where you have now over 400,000 Rohingya refugees coming across the border, facing what the UN officials have called, what Secretary General Antonio Guterres has called, a campaign of ethnic cleansing committed by the government of Myanmar against this religious and ethnic minority. And that is something that the humanitarians at the UN have been trying to call attention to. You know, I spoke to one member of the UN Refugee Agency who has been at this job for decades, and she said that this crisis on the border of Bangladesh and Myanmar is unlike anything she had ever seen in her long, long tenure at the UN Refugee Agency. So it's something that has been on the UN's agenda in recent weeks and did inform part of the conversation at the UN this week.
So bring us behind the scenes of the General Assembly this week a little bit, Mark. We can cover the speeches, we watch the speeches, we're talking about the top line stuff, but what are delegates talking about among themselves that we're not hearing?
So it doesn't get covered too much in these contexts, but the sustainable development goals are a topic of a lot of substantive conversations, both inside the UN building and also in meetings around New York this week. These are a set of 17 goals, the top line of which is to totally eradicate extreme poverty by 2030, as defined as people who live as under 125 a day, to be achieved by from 2015 to 2030. So this Sustainable Development Goals, the Global Goals for Sustainable Development, were a topic of much conversation this week, all centered around devising specific solutions to very discrete and tangible problems around the world, like maternal mortality or ending hunger or reducing our carbon footprint. Around town this week, there were just a number of forums and meetings and launches of new partnerships to take on parts of this really, these urgent kind of global threats. And though it didn't make headlines, this was the real substance behind the scenes of what was happening at UN Week. You're having different groups come together around these really important global issues.
Mark, we're going to let you go, and there are lots of serious issues that have been covered at the UN and that you and I have been discussing. Let's leave it on a positive note if we can. I know there are dozens, hundreds of receptions, parties, thousands of delegates, and every year there's one good joke circulating among world leaders. What is it this year?
Well, it must be President Trump's invention of a new country in Africa called Namibia. At a reception for African leaders, he gave a toast mentioning this invented country. Presumably, a combination of Namibia and Zambia have come together to form this brave new country called Namibia.
Namibia's health system is increasingly self-sufficient.
And what are delegates saying about Namibia?
Oh, they are wondering where it's located. They're chuckling about it. It was not the most serious of things, but it does sort of demonstrate a general disregard of Africa and the African continent by the U.S. president, which is unfortunately a true thing in international diplomacy.
Mark Leon Goldberg, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Mark Leon Goldberg is editor of UN Dispatch and host of the Global Dispatches podcast.